Several years ago, he had just started working there. And the time came where they asked him to go and to teach a teenage boys class. Well, it was the first time he had been in teaching the teens, so he wanted to see how much they knew. So he walked into this teenage boys class that Sunday morning, and he asked them who had knocked down Jericho's walls. And they all denied it. You know, they all said, no, it wasn't me. It wasn't. And they all went around the room and they just said, you know, I didn't do it. Well, the rest of the class was pretty much like that. And the preacher, when he got out of class that day, was just as discouraged as he could be. Well, just like here, they have periodic meetings of the elders, deacons, and preachers. So one Sunday they had that meeting. The elders, deacons, and preachers got together for a meeting, and they were going around discussing various things. And the preacher decided, you know, I got to tell them what's going on. This is just sad. So he informed them what had happened in the class and the things. And he said there was not a single one of them who knew who knocked down the walls of Jericho. And in that meeting, there was total silence. They were shocked. They looked around at each other, and then finally one of the deacons spoke up. And he said, preacher, I don't know what to say. I can tell that you're very disturbed about this, but let me assure you, I have known the boys in that class since they were born. And you know, they're very good boys. And if they say that they didn't know, then really they didn't know. But can I just suggest that we take some money out of the repair budget and pay for the walls and just move on from this? Very funny, very sad. That such, you might say, well, that's just a preacher's story, is very real throughout our nation, throughout Christianity, throughout the churches of Christ. What kind of Bible student are you? What kind of Bible student are you? I want you this morning to turn to Acts chapter 17. And I want us to see some Bible students that God picked out to hold up for our example. I want us to see some Bible students that Paul found in the city of Berea. He had just left Thessalonica where he had been in Acts chapter 17, the first part of the chapter. Verse 10, he arrives at the little city of Berea. When he arrives there, as his custom was, he did what he always did. He went about finding opportunities to teach about Jesus. And there's that wonderful description in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 about these individuals that he found in the city of Berea, where it says that they were more, the New King James says, they were more fair-minded. The Old King James says they were more noble. Some translations say they were more noble-minded than those people he had found in Thessalonica. What does that mean? When you think about someone being noble, we think about someone in the word means to be well-born. To be one who has come about as a result of noble birth. Interesting, and I think Eugene Williams is back there. Eugene, the word noble comes from the Greek word eugenes, by which we get the English name Eugene. You may not have known it, Eugene, but you are noble. You are of noble birth. You go home and tell your wife that and your kids that. Let me know how that goes. Of noble birth. But sometimes the word is used to describe someone's character. When Paul came to Berea, he found some individuals who were of a noble mind. They were noble-minded, meaning that when he came and was proclaiming the gospel to them, They had an open heart to the message. They were willing to receive the information. They were willing and open to the evidence that he was presenting. They were noble-minded. And when that open heart that they had was coupled with the open Bible that they went to, you see a beautiful marriage of those two concepts together. And you see God lifting up this example before us. That when we come and decide what kind of student am I going to be of the Bible, there were some noble-minded students in the city of Berea who had both an open heart and an open Bible. And when they brought those two things together, God says it'll spell success every time. I want us to look this morning at just a few things. We're going to stay right here in Acts 17. Just a few things about these students that if we will emulate these qualities, if we will emulate their character when they came to the Bible, then perhaps God can look at us and also look at us as being noble-minded students. First thing I want us to see about these students is that they were Bible students. Somebody says that's obvious. It might be obvious from reading this passage, but it's not obvious for every person who claims to be a Christian today to be a Bible student. Notice that the verse says, what did they go and what did they search? They searched the Scriptures. Isn't it interesting that when a man came to town and he was proclaiming the message of God, that there were individuals who wanted to hear it? You know, when Paul came to town, there was no mystery about why he was there. When Paul came to town, there was no question, what is this guy? Is he going to put on a show? Is he in town for the weekend? There was no mystery that there was a preacher in town. What was the preacher going to do? He was going to preach. What was he going to preach? He was going to preach about Jesus. And what did the people do? Did they say, I don't want to go here preaching. Are you kidding me? I'm going to go and do something. Here were individuals who loved the Word of God. Here were individuals who appreciated the message of God. Here were individuals who not only wanted to hear it, they wanted to know it. When Paul came preaching, they came listening. And when they came listening, they were certain that they wanted to make sure that they were coming to the Scriptures because they were Bible students. They did not go and check what was being said by asking some man what he thought. They didn't go check what was being said by asking what some preacher what he thought. They didn't check what was being said by going to some book to see if it matched what some book said, or going to some website to see if it matched what some website said. They were Bible students. They wanted to know what the Bible said. Look in verse 11. Where it says that they received the Word. The word receive, we use it to mean different things today. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but has anyone here ever received a traffic ticket? Remember, don't raise your hand. When you received that traffic, we use the word. You received a traffic ticket. Do you suppose that the word received, when we use it in that sentence, is the same thing that is being stated here? You know, we receive a traffic ticket. What happens? The police officer gives it to us. We take it. We receive it. Is that the same word that's used here? It's the same English word, but it's not the same definition. Because when you receive a traffic ticket, do you welcome it with open arms? Do you embrace it as the very thing that you had been looking for? Is it the very thing that you take in and you tuck it away and you say, I have been wanting this all of my life? I'm guessing no. The word that's used here for receive is that kind of word. It doesn't mean that I just took it, that it was handed to me and I received it. It means that I welcomed it when it came. It means that I embraced it to myself because this was the word of God. When Paul came to Berea, he found noble-minded students. What made them noble-minded students? They were Bible students. Are you a Bible student? When you think about everything that you do in your week, when you think about everything that happens in the 168 hours that you have in a week, are you a Bible student? God picked up some students here in Acts 17. He held them up for our examination and our example. And he said, we need to be like these people. They were not just Bible students. They were diligent students. Look at what this says. It says that they searched the Scriptures. I don't know if any of you have ever lost a diamond ring. What kind of efforts did you make in searching for that diamond ring? Were they just half-hearted? Were they, well, you know, if I find it, I find it. If I don't, I don't. No big deal. Anybody ever lost a child? Go to the store, you lose a child. Did you ever go searching for that child? Don't answer that out loud. Did you ever go searching for that child? How would you describe their efforts in searching for that child? Has anyone ever become frantic in searching for a child that is lost? Do we ever approach the Bible with that same kind of heart? The same kind of heart that says, I've lost a diamond ring. I've lost a child. I'm searching for this thing or that thing. Do we approach the Bible wanting to find the truth? Not willing to say, well, if I find it, I find it. If I don't, I don't. But longing and searching for it. But the word searching here is not used in that connotation. The word searching that's found here in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 is a word that is defined from a word that means that I am examining something. I am investigating something. And I'm doing it thoroughly. I'm doing it carefully. Some of you who watch CSI. And how they go in and what is it, forensics that they're using to investigate. And they're trying to find every little fingerprint. They're trying to find every little hair. They're trying to find every little shred of evidence that they can. That's the word that's being used here. It is searching, examining thoroughly, uncovering all that you can. In fact, it was a word that was used in those days involved in legal processes, where a lawyer would go and sift through some evidence. And there's a prefix on this word that gives you the idea that you're looking up and down. You're looking all over the place. He's examining something and he's going to examine it from the top to the bottom. And so here's someone who, in a legal process, goes and tries searching out every detail that he can. Tries researching every possibility that he can find. And it's not flippant research that he goes about. It is careful and exact research in order to find the truth. This same word is used in Luke chapter 23 when Pilate examined Jesus. It's the same word used in Acts chapter 4 when the Sanhedrin examined Peter and Paul. It's the same word used in Acts chapter 12 and verse 9 where Herod examined his guards and then had them put to death. It is a word that is looking into, trying to find all of the truth, trying to find all of the evidence, and then weighing it out. That's the kind of Bible students that Paul found when he got to the city of Berea. Not just somebody who merely opened the Bible to read it before bedtime, but someone who was digging in and looking at it from the top to the bottom, sifting through it from the front to the back, trying to find everything they could to know that there was about God. What kind of Bible student are you? Are you a diligent Bible student? Are you one who is searching, who cannot get enough? Someone said about the Bible that it gets wider and it gets longer the more you get into it. You'll never find its depth. You'll never find its width. You'll never reach its limit. What kind of Bible student are you? When Paul came to Thessalonica, he found noble-minded students, Bible students, diligent students. They were honest students. Look at what it says. The Bible says in verse 11 that they searched the Scriptures to do what? Well, you may have in italics in your translation, meaning this is what the translator supplied. They searched to find out. They searched to see something. You know, sometimes when people go to the Bible, they're not going to the Bible to see something. They're going to the Bible to prove something. They want to prove something to you. And so there are individuals in our day who are going to the Bible to prove that God approves of homosexuality. And so they are coming to the Bible, believe it or not, looking in the Bible to try to prove their point. That's one example among many of individuals who don't come to the Bible to see what the Bible says. They come to the Bible to try to prove something that they want the Bible to prove. That wasn't the kind of students that Paul found. Paul found honest students. And the last five words of verse 11 describe the kind of students. Those italicized words are merely supplied there that they were going to see. But what was it that they went to the Scriptures for? To find out whether these things were so. The Apostle Paul came to town. The Apostle Paul came to town and was preaching the gospel to them. And in order for his message to have any validation and proof that it was from God, no doubt Paul was performing miracles by the power of God to prove that his message was from God. But what kind of students were in Berea? Students who wanted to come to the Word of God. They wanted to take what Paul said and to find it in Scriptures and to match them together. They weren't going to just accept it because somebody said it. They weren't going to believe it just because a preacher said it. They wanted to make sure that these things were actually, look at the last word, so. They knew that there were some teachers who didn't stick to that which was so. And there are still some teachers today who do not stick to that which is so. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 John chapter 4, over and over the Bible warns us. Acts chapter 20, verses 28, 29, and 30 to those elders, where the Bible says that there were going to be individuals who were going to come and teach things that were contrary to the Word of God. How do we know? When we hear somebody teach, how do we know if what they say is true? We need to be noble-minded students who don't just accept it because it's said, who don't just accept it because I've read it in a book, who don't just accept it because they found it on a website, but only accept it when they find it written in the Word of God. They didn't trust themselves. They only trusted God's Word. They trusted it as their only source of knowledge. They trusted it as their only source of authority. What kind of Bible student are you? When you come to Bible classes, when you come to worship and the gospel is being proclaimed, when you go to a website and read some article that maybe some good brother has written, how often are you writing things down? How often are you taking things down and then going to check to really see if those things are so? The greatest preachers can make mistakes. The greatest teachers can intentionally make mistakes. We need to be noble-minded, open-hearted, open-Bibled students who are honest in our study of the Word of God, not wanting to make it say what we want it to say, but accepting what it does say when God says what He means. What kind of Bible student are you? When Paul came to Berea in the fourth place, he found regular students of the Bible. When did they search the Scriptures? Verse 11 says that they searched the Scriptures daily. Perhaps that's just a figure of speech, daily. Perhaps that's just a hyperbole, you know, an exaggeration. Maybe they didn't do it every day, but maybe they did it so often that it looked like maybe they were doing it every day. Do you suppose that when God chose the word daily, that He chose a word that really did not mean daily? If you go home today and you get your concordance down and you look up the word daily in the New Testament, you will find that Luke uses the word daily more than half of the time. 60% of the time that is found in the New Testament, Luke is the one using the word daily. Let me read you some of those verses, and you tell me, is he meaning that word literally when he uses the word, or is it just you being used figuratively? Luke 9 and verse 23. Jesus said to take up your cross daily. Luke chapter 11 and verse 3. Pray, give us day by day our daily bread. Luke 19 and verse 47. Jesus was teaching daily in the temple. Luke chapter 22 and verse 53. Jesus said, when I was daily with you in the temple. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 46. So continuing daily in one accord. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. The Lord added unto the church daily those who were being saved. Acts chapter 3 and verse 2, a certain lame man was laid at the gate of the temple daily. Acts chapter 5 and verse 42, they were daily in the temple and in every house teaching and preaching. Acts chapter 6 and verse 1, there were some widows who were being neglected in the daily distribution. Acts chapter 17 and verse 7, Paul was preaching in the marketplace daily in the city of Athens. Acts chapter 19 and verse 9, Paul reasoned daily in the school of Tyrannus when he was in Ephesus. Do any of those strike you as being figurative? Do any of those strike you as being, well, that's just a figure of speech. He really didn't mean that. Every single time he uses it, it's literal. It's not hyperbole. And so when Acts chapter 17 verse 11 says that they searched the Scriptures daily, we need to understand they did it every day. There was not a day that they let pass them by that they didn't go to the Word of God. There was not a day that they let pass them by that they did not go examining and digging in to the Word of God. If Paul was there preaching, they were there listening. If Paul was there proclaiming, they were there and somehow taking down notes. We talked about this passage in our Tuesday morning Bible class last week. I want you to put yourself in the position of these people in Berea. Some of you this morning have easy access to a ballpoint pen. If you didn't bring one, we supply them in the pew. Some of you this morning brought your own pad to write on. If you didn't bring one with you, we supply the cards in the pew. Do you suppose that when they got there that day that they just sat down in the nice padded pews, pulled out the attendance card, and were taking notes on the back of that attendance card with the nice ballpoint pen that was being supplied by the synagogue on that day? Imagine how laborious writing was in those days, and yet they're taking notes somehow because they're checking it when they get home. Now, how were they checking it? They didn't have a Bible like you do. They didn't have a book at home where they could go and have every book of the Bible right there at their disposal. They didn't have chapters and verses marked out in their Bible yet. That didn't happen for another 1600 years. But the Bible says that they searched the Scriptures daily. That's diligence. That's determination. That's what a noble-minded student does. A noble-minded student comes to the Word of God every day. Let me ask you a question. Do you suppose that they did it just because they need it? They needed it more than we do? You suppose that was the reason? Well, they just needed it more than we do. I don't need to go to it every day. They were just learning it. No, that's not the case. You suppose they did it because, well, they don't have the advancements that we do. They were just a little slower than we are. I get it a lot quicker, and so I don't need to go to it as often. No, that can't be the case. What kind of Bible student are you? How regularly, how daily do you go to the Word of God? Would it be described as monthly or weekly? Or maybe it's Sunday daily that you come to the Word of God, and maybe that's the only day. God holds up these noble-minded students. He wants us to be like them. Because these noble-minded students were prepared students. The Bible says that they searched the Scripture with all readiness of mind. The word there means, it literally means that they had a forward mind. They weren't content with just sitting back. They weren't content with just, well, okay, we'll let Paul say his piece. We'll let Paul say whatever he's going to say, and then we'll go down to Chick-fil-A because it's Saturday and Chick-fil-A's open on Saturdays. They're closed on Sundays, but they're open on Saturday, and we'll get something to eat. They weren't just content in sitting back. They were of a forward mind, literally. They were eager to hear what was being presented. They were eager to find the truth. And the Bible says they searched it with all, not some, all readiness and eagerness of mind to find out if the things that Paul was saying were really, really so. This wasn't something that they had determined to do just at the last minute. This is something that they had set their heart to do. Look for just a minute. Back in the Old Testament book of Ezra, we won't go to many other passages this morning, but I want us to see this passage in the book of Ezra. Because these people in the city of Berea had the same kind of heart that this great priest did back in the Old Testament. Ezra was one of the great leaders in the Old Testament. One of the great leaders of the Israelites, bringing them back to the promised land after captivity, helping them to be renewed in their worship of God, helping them to refocus their hearts on serving God. Look at what it says about Ezra in Ezra chapter 7. In Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, Ezra had prepared his heart. This is the kind of Bible student Ezra was. He had prepared his heart, even before he came to the law of the Lord, he had prepared his heart to seek it, to seek the law of the Lord. And when he had prepared his heart to seek it, he had also prepared his heart that when he found it, what would he do with it? What does Ezra 7 and verse 10 say? He prepared his heart to seek it, and when he had found it, he prepared his heart to do it. And then after he was doing it, he prepared his heart to teach it. What kind of Bible students are we? Are we the Bible students that are prepared when we come to study it? Are we the kind of Bible students that are eager to learn all that we can? That are rushing forward. That's what the word means. They were rushing forward to find all that they could about the Word of God. God picks up these Bible students and He says, we need to be like them. Do we look like them? In the last place this morning, I want us to see that they were rewarded students. Look in verse 12. Acts chapter 17 and verse 12. They were rewarded students. Bible says, the verse word in verse 12 is therefore. Based upon the fact that they had been studying the Bible. Based upon the fact, therefore, that they had had an open heart, and that was coupled with an open Bible. And God says, when you put those two things together, therefore, many of them believed. You can't help but do that when you come with an open heart to an open Bible. Now, notice that the Bible doesn't say that they all believed. Not everybody is going to believe the evidence when it's presented, but notice that it also does not say that it was just some of them. Back up in chapter 17, verse 4, when Paul was in Thessalonica, chapter 17, verse 4 says that some of them believed, but these people are more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. They have more of an open heart to the truth. Many of them believed. Meaning, many of them obeyed what God said to do. It's the same wording that's used of those people on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, the Bible says about those on the day of Pentecost, those who gladly did what? Received His word. Those who gladly received His word, what did they do? They were baptized. That's what happens when people receive the word of God with all readiness. That's what happens when people are eager to find the truth. When they find it, they believe it. And when they believe it, they obey it. Remember, that's how Ezra had set his heart. He had determined that he would seek truth. And he had determined that once he found the truth, he would obey the truth. These students that Paul found in Berea in Acts chapter 17, they were rewarded. Brethren, what kind of students are we? What kind of Bible student are you? Are you the kind of Bible student that God could describe as being noble-minded? As being open to the evidence when it's presented, open-hearted, and you want the truth? Could you be described as someone who takes that heart and marries it to an open Bible every single day? Could you be described as a Bible student who is diligent and searching and digging, and when you find that you're honest with what you have found? Could you be described as a Bible student who is eager to learn the Word of God? And when you find it, you have prepared yourself to obey it. Brethren, if we are not like these noble-minded students in Acts chapter 17, we will not be rewarded by our God. I want you to think about all of the opportunities that you have to be a Bible student. Are you taking advantage of them? I want you to think of all of the individuals that you have an opportunity to speak to and to teach about the Bible. Are you taking advantage of them? Next Sunday morning, we will begin a new Bible class quarter. Meaning that next Sunday morning, there will be new teachers, there will be new studies, and we will begin, just as we do four times a year, a new study on a new topic, on a new passage, on a new book. If you haven't been coming to Bible class, next Sunday would be the perfect time to start. You won't be stepping into the middle of a study. You'll get in right on the very beginning. Are we noble-minded students? When we see opportunities like Bible classes, are we taking advantage of them? When we see opportunities all around us, we have youth programs. You know what their purpose is? To build and to develop faith. Are your kids involved in those youth programs? We have Bible classes for children of all ages. You know what their purpose is? To build and develop faith. Are you taking advantage of those things? We have Bible study materials all around this building, in the lobby, in the track room, in the church library, all over the place. Are you taking advantage of them? We have a website. You know what its purpose is? To build and develop faith. Are you utilizing it? Have you gone to the Bible study page on our website and gone through all of the links that are there, even to other websites where we can build and develop faith? What kind of Bible students are we? God looked down at these people. He said, these people are noble-minded. I wonder what God would say about us if He were to describe what kind of students we are of His Word. May God help us to be receptive Bible students. That when we get into it and read it and search it and accept it, that we will obey it. Do you this morning believe what the Bible says? Do you believe what the Bible says when it says that Jesus left heaven, came to this earth, lived a perfect life without a single sin, died on that cross for your sins, was buried in the tomb, on the third day was raised, and He's now seated at the right hand of God? Do you believe that with all of your heart? That He did that for you and that He did that for me? Then why don't you obey what the Bible says this morning? Repent, turn away from the wrong that's in your life. Turn away from sinful living. I don't want to live this way anymore. I want to live for God. If you do that this morning, you can confess the faith that's in your heart, because that's what the Bible says to do. And you can be baptized. You can be immersed in water. Not because some man said to do it, but because the Bible said to do it. To have all of your sins washed away, to be added by the Lord to His church, and then to follow His commands, to continue in the faith, obeying Him, doing what He has told us to do. If you are subject to the invitation this morning, if we can help you in any way, please come as together we stand and sing.